How'd a dream, cowboys?
Welcome back, everybody. It's the flagship show. It's the Westworld podcast. Now we're the HBO boys, and we're doing everyone's favorite season, season four of Westworld. This is episode seven, entitled Metanoia. And it's written by Denise Tay, in part, who is actually somebody that we know from previous seasons of Westworld.
Oh, that's fun. You just called us the Westworld podcast, and every time I do that, you rag on me hard. So, I don't know. I can't throw something at you just because of our, like, physical distance from each other. So just, like, know that I would have.
Okay. Yeah. Well, next time you see me, remember, and you can throw a stapler at my head or something.
Yeah, sure. I'll throw a lamp at you. It'll be fun.
So we got a season three, season four rarity. We had two pretty good episodes in a row, but luckily they're back to formula with the A-B pattern of good, bad, so now we got a bad one.
Hey, you know what? You gotta sometimes just be thankful for what you get. And we got two good episodes in a row in season four. Something that none of us, at least you and I, saw coming, and I, for one, am grateful that occurred at all. And sure, this episode, especially the first 30 to 35 minutes, were hot garbage. But I liked a few things that happened in this episode as well. So, how dare you?
By the way, guys, we have a Patreon if you want to join that.
And
if
if
enough people join, we're going to do something for sure. We just haven't decided what yet.
Yeah, I love this incentive-based thing. You're right.
If we get 20 patrons...
Nice.
Something. Big things are coming.
Huge. Patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. You only have to put in $1 and you get access.
If we get 30 patrons, we'll commit to a weekly schedule.
Wow. That's huge. Yeah, you get access to a Discord account and all the false promises that we're giving you right now. And I think this is a good time to do it because our podcast is really going to take off coming up here soon as we become the unofficial House of the Dragon podcast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, once that drops, you are going to want to be on this bandwagon, okay?
Yeah, we already secured the URL houseofthedragon.fun, right? Which is what everyone's going to be coming to.
Are you sure? Is it .fun? I got houseofthedragon.gov.
We got them both locked down.
Sick.
So this episode begins the cold open. Power couple Maeve Nard are going to the dam. And actually we find out that the dam is where they're holding the sublime. I guess I overthought it and thought it might be something more interesting, but no. It's the stolen data plotline from season one has truly been dropped. This is where the sublime is. Robot heaven, if you recall.
I recall. Yeah, I believe back then we were like, did they send it into space? Perhaps right. A satellite somewhere deep, deep within the ether. It's at a dam in the Midwest.
And is named after a pretty lousy president.
Yeah, and a pretty good vacuum.
So we get some exposition here. It's confusing because they didn't give us a lot of details, but Bernard's like, yeah, I made you from my memories of Maeve. You're not the real Maeve. And at first I was like, that's stupid. This is just like when they made a copy of Bernard from Dolores' memory and it killed all the stakes for me. But no, this is all a simulation. A robot crashes through the window. And so this is one of the million different timelines that Bernard saw when he was doing the Doctor Strange thing and was like, ah, this is the one.
Thankfully, it was a simulation. Because at the end of the scene where he was like, you like Sherry, right? And starts pouring drinks. I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah. He also, when he snaps out of it, we see Akachita again. And he's like, don't you see that no matter what, the world is going to end, even if you do everything right. And so that truly vindicates Rehoboam and Sarak, who said this exact thing would happen if they were overthrown.
Yeah, and then Bernie at the end says, like, so I'm going to die no matter what. That's the vibe that I've gotten from all these simulations.
Well, you know what, robots? Now you know what it's like to be human, okay?
Jesus, dark. And then all the audience at the same time when he was like, at the end of every simulation, I die. And the audience was like, well, yeah. Obviously.
So then they do that same scene over again, but for reals this time. And he gives Maeve a sweet grenade launcher. And they don't have the convo about how she's the fake Maeve. So I guess this is the authentic Maeve.
Sure. While walking in, Bernard sneakily puts a gun in a tunnel for later down the road. Not even in this episode. Episodes down the line for somebody else. Because he's a planner. He plans ahead.
They open up the portal to the Sublime, but then walk away like badasses.
Bad guys don't look at explosions, or also sometimes rips in the void.
If they were smart, they would very quickly just, like, make a copy of themselves and put them in the Sublime and be like, okay, now you live on happily in my place while I go on my suicide mission.
I guess, but that didn't happen in... I mean, Bernie had to have run simulations where he just was like, I guess I just walk into the Sublime, see what happens, right? Oh, right. Nothing, because I disappear? Well, I mean, but it is lit in there.
But the stakes are high because, like, if the world ends in nuclear fire, the Hoover Dam will stop working, presumably, and then Robot Heaven will turn off.
Right, which is bad for Maeve, because as she's been saying every second of every day for the past 4 seasons... She very much cares about her daughter, and her daughter's in the Sublime. So the Hoover Dam must be protected.
Christina wakes up with Teddy, friend zone no longer.
Nice.
And he drops some truth bombs on her. You're a wizard, Dolores. Is that good? Or how about, you're a Dolores, Harry.
You're a DeLorean, Harry. And yeah, also, Teddy's still alive? That's crazy for me. Just the amount of times Teddy has died and the Teddy death counter still being at 0 for season 4, which I'm sure won't last, but it's bonkers how long he stayed alive.
Yeah, well, this can't be the original Teddy because his brain ball was exploded. So this must be one of those bullshit copies where, like, you know, Ryan explodes. And so then I write down everything I can remember about Ryan and feed that into a Scantron and it makes a copy of him.
Yeah, well, you're going to be disappointed because I wrote C for every answer. Also, I think this is probably Bernie or like a version of Bernie walking Christina, Dolores, Christina through some sort of simulation. Oh, God, slash you're right. Maze.
Yeah. So now you see how bad it's going to go, so you know what to do different.
Because I'm saying, at the end, she's like, why can't anybody see me? And Teddy's right. Like, because you're not here, bitch.
Right. So she gets her mind blown and she wants to be alone. She goes to take a bath while a new version of the main theme plays. This was like the Game of Thrones version.
I kind of liked it. Taking a bath. I mean, she was taking a bath, but initially, I think her motives were ulterior.
Yeah, she tries to drown herself but can't, which is all the proof that you need.
Right, yeah. It.
Maybe.
When she stopped,
I can't drown, I'm a robot.
Or not here at all.
So then Caleb and Robo William go to taunt Caleb. And now, is this the Caleb for last episode that they fixed? Like, did he pass the fidelity test?
No, it's the one that they made at the end. The newest version of Caleb.
Right. Because, like, I don't think the fidelity test is over. Even if they rescue this Caleb, he's just going to break down and go crazy in 4 days.
I mean, it depends if the deaths we haven't talked about yet that happened at the end of this episode are actual deaths or not.
Right. So Hale tells him that she's going to kill all the humans in World so that there won't be any more outliers, so that there won't be any more suicides. I mean, all right. You could also just stop sending hosts into the human world. They have to go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're being selective in their ascension process, and somehow that puts a longer ticking clock than right now into their plan. But yeah, just like stop going over there and learning the power of friendship so you shoot yourselves.
Then Hale tells William about how World's going to be canceled. She blasts an email out to all the other hosts, and she tells them we're all now going to end. We're all going into new bodies where we won't have genitals and we won't cry anymore.
Yeah, the new bodies particularly don't have arms, which I really liked. They're really tall, sleek bodies. No arms, though, because Crispy Chicken Hale was like, if my arm is going to be burnt, the future of our race, no arms! We don't get them.
It's just like all these robots like to do is kill and bang, and now they can't do any of it. They're all going to kill themselves.
I guess you could just like simul bang, right?
Yeah.
You know, sublime bang. You tell me. You tell me all the consciousnesses of the robots who went to the sublime aren't by hanging. You tell me that, James, and I'll call you a liar.
Then Robo William goes to talk to regular Frozen and Carbonite William to complain about the park getting shut down. And then so regular William bullies him and says some bizarre misanthropic shit. And he tries gaslighting Robo Williams into killing Hale.
Yeah.
But then instead he just stabs real William and he dies. We get confirmation later that his vitals are failing.
There's also confirmation later that there's a life support system hooked up to him. So it is not for sure that the human version even stabbed now in the heart, although his throat was cut last time. So all the worst things that can happen to a human have now happened to human William. And is he dead? We don't know 100%. But yeah, his gaslighting worked. We see the fruits of human William's labor come to fruition at the end of the episode. But at the same time, Robot William was still just like, I think I'm going to stab you.
Teddy tells Dolores the sad story of our Lord and Savior, Dolores Prime.
Nice.
Who it is now clear Christina is not her.
Mm-mm.
Teddy confirms this, more or less.
But again, we get to the point where she is a simulation, so perhaps it is just a manifestation of Dolores's brain ball given another name so that the center of her maze is being like, oh, I'm not Christina, I'm fucking Dolores.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're going to have to marathon Caleb through the maze. They're like, okay, now realize that you're a robot, now realize that you're human. Okay, good. Okay, get betrayed.
Yeah. Betrayal is a huge part of fidelity.
She then makes all the humans destroy her office and goes to free all the innocent hosts that are being held in captivity, including Caleb. This is just a coincidence.
Yeah, it was a good scene, I think, actually, when she was just like, everybody leaves and throws chairs through their desk. No more pencils.
Like it was right, yeah, school is out for summer. And again, I just maybe you're right. This is Bernard working both angles, like looking into the future. So like Teddy is also Bernard. And so she frees the hosts right before Frankie and Stubbs show up.
Stubbs had an earlier conversation I want to discuss for
a moment. Yeah, we actually haven't gotten there yet.
Fuck.
Frankie's gathering together the last of La Resistance. Nice. She makes up with her girlfriend for locking her up last episode.
To be fair, she was sus as fuck, so.
Mavenard get there and
I don't like that nickname. I really detest it.
And they join in with the rescue plan.
Nice.
And Bernard tells Stubbs, don't worry, buddy. You are for sure going to die out there.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't say that exactly. He's just like, okay, well, goodbye. And then Stubbs is like, but we'll see each other later, right? And then Bernard's like, So he doesn't specify which one of them is going to die. Actually, Stubbs assumes it's him. And he's like, I don't make it out, do I? Yeah, I'm the older Hemsworth. Also, by the way, I just want to point that out. I feel like everybody forgets that Chris Hemsworth and Luke Hemsworth are my... Am I Luke Hemsworth? Who knows? Chris Hemsworth, Thor's my brother. Anyway, so I'm going to die. And Bernie's like, well, who knows? But again, based on something that happens at the end of this episode, perhaps Bernie's just like, nah, I know I'm going to die faux show. And perhaps it's not me saying goodbye to you, it's you saying goodbye to me.
So they go on their big mission. Mavenard's going to take out Hale.
You still did it, though.
And Stubbs and Frankie are going to find Caleb. When they get there, again, this was a pretty easy rescue mission. Stubbs and Frankie get in, and they just, like, because Christine's already been through, Caleb's already out. He's a little bit crazy, but they work it out quickly and they have a tearful reunion. And yeah, Mission solved. It took them like one scene. They got it.
Yeah, we did it. Mission Impossible, very possible, actually, because all the doors were open because Teddy and Christina, the simulations or the robots in the shell being Olympiad Entertainment, and they're just like inside so they can open everything. It was something to do with that. Made it very easy. Frankie sees her father, but a version of her father from the day that he died. So she's like, oh, you're a robot. Fuck. Because she did not know that previously. So real big bummer for her. And at some point, I think it's actually coming up, but at some point, and I should have picked up on this the first time, but Christina like walks by another party. I think the Ashley Stubbs party, while they're just walking through the catacombs and they barely see each other. Like they sort of go right by each other and don't say anything. And I thought they were just being smug. Like I thought they were just being like, no, not important. Keep walking. Turns out two of them weren't real or something.
Maeve not arrive at the tower. Still, there's some false. That's the last time. Okay.
I don't believe you.
There's some false drama with two big robots, but turns out Bernie controls them. They do run into like one drone guard, but they immediately murk him. And then other than that, they're fine. They just also just walk in.
Three one of guard. Them.
Yeah.
Total. How? I don't.
I thought you controlled the world, but then again, you know, Serac controlled the world too, and he only had access to like 10 goons at a time.
I just don't understand. Maybe Jonah and Lisa are the ones who are brainwashed. They're the ones who had their eyelids just like forced to stay open and watch the first Star Wars movie to be like, you can't make it hard for your protagonists at all. Everybody shoots and misses. There's two of them total. Why? I don't know.
One of the problems this show has is that currently there's too much star power compared to how many viewers the show takes in.
Mm.
So probably they have a lower budget. And so it's like, okay, well, no, we can't have them fight drones.
P.S. And by the way,
they can fight each other.
This is perhaps not the best time to bring it up, but I'm going to anyway. With Discover Warner Brothers absolutely starting to gut HBO Max, mm-hmm. and with how good House of the Dragon will most likely do, once again becoming a flagship show, with how hard His Dark Materials, the final season, will most likely bomb, with how hard this season of Westworld is bombing.
He's bombing.
And currently, Jonah and Lisa will be asking for one more season. Is Warner Brother Media / Discover, now spun off from AT&T, strong enough, or at least do they want their relationship with Christopher Nolan so badly that they will give Jonah and Lisa a flailing fifth season of a show that nobody watches with a budget that's way too high just to be like, I swear to God, Warner will make a movie for you, Chris.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Discovery Plus boys.
No, it really isn't. They laid off like 70% of people.
Yeah, what if they lay us off?
There was that one Apple review one time that was like, I cannot believe HBO has hired these two gentlemen. And I was like, this ain't our jobs. One, two. Honestly, thank you so much for that misconstrued notion that we were this is our jobs.
Yeah, that's very flattering.
I listened to the first episode or two of the official podcast for mm-hmm. House of the Dragon, and I boring. Gotta tell you, so goddamn boring. Oh, you know who'd be better? These guys.
Yeah, because we're not gonna suck the show's dick the whole time. We're just gonna count the amount of dicks in the show, which is what people want to know.
I'm having crazy nostalgia. I feel like you've said that exact phrase. I feel like this, like the past two sentences, like word for word, we've said at some point. Am I in a fucking simulation, dude?
You know how it's a really good episode of Westworld is if Ryan and I just stop talking about Westworld for 5 minutes straight.
And it feels so much better. Feels like we've been going through a jailbreak. We're climbing through the shit tube like Andy Dufresne, and we're psyched about it.
Yeah, like we said, Bernie and Maeve, they murk the one guard. They don't break a sweat. And Bernie's like, I know this seems really easy and like everything's fine, but trust me, we are all going to die, Maeve. And even if we do our best, we'll probably just save a couple of people. And she's like, oh, fine by me.
And then weirdly, whatever. Out of character, she says, okay, and then does a jerk-off motion.
Oh, boy. We get a weird-ass scene where Hale is caressing her new horrible automaton body that she wants everyone to move into. Like, I don't know how she thought this was going to sell. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to leave the body that I can bang in to go into some horrible Lovecraftian nightmare.
Getting rid of arms, James, okay? It's important because I'm crispy chicken Charlotte Hale and everybody else will be a very tall chicken nugget that's white with no arms, including me.
Right, no one will make fun of my burned up arm anymore because I'm the only one with arms.
The one that I chose to keep to remind myself of my torrid past.
Maeve arrives and they have a little tete-a-tete and then they have a pretty lame fight scene.
They fight.
It wasn't that good of a fight scene.
But I liked when they were in the water. Like, that was at least interesting. The end of the fight scene was the best part because the robot version of William is in his man in black suit once right. more and does some man in black based shit where he is the manifestation of chaos and destruction, and the human beings want and need to destroy themselves. And I'm not just talking about the show, just like the in real world need to be like, let's just blow everything up. And the man in black is back, baby. Real William stabbed in the heart, maybe alive, we don't know. Very Stannis like death, except for it was on screen and we saw the stabbing.
Yeah, but well, then he kills Maeve. And then he kills him.
He domes her. He domes both of them. But I will say, though, the bullet wounds are slightly to the left or to the right on the forehead on both of them, leaving room for
the bullet, the brain bomb.
It didn't even hit the brain bomb.
Right. And I'll be very sad if Maeve, who's one of the better characters, is killed off. And I'll be extremely sad if Charlotte Hale gets killed off. Because, like, at least, you know, as bad as seasons 3 and 4 were, like, at least you could count on a scene of, like, Tessa Thompson being beautiful and acting well. Like, she can do that even if the script is bad, and now they're killing her off.
Wow, simp much. Anyway, the point, I'll be so angry if Maeve, real Maeve and not sublime Maeve,
They kill off Bernard and Maeve, like, why watch the show anymore?
Again, yeah. By the way, Bernard's about to die as well. I want them to have the fucking balls to kill Bernie, Maeve, and Hale in the same episode.
And then so we're just watching Caleb, Stubbs, and Frankie for all of season 5?
No. Season 5 is the man in black versus new Dolores, and they have the entire Earth to have a battle in, and it's just like a 1v1 10-hour anime that doesn't happen because Discover Plus for sure isn't going to give them the money for it.
Right. William then catches up with Bernard. Again, like, this was so forced and out of nowhere, but I still kind of appreciated it.
Yeah.
But they called back to season 1. We're like, hey, Arnold. And then as he's dying because he gets shot by William, he's like thinking back to his real life when he was Arnold and had a kid. Again, this was 2 lives ago, right? Because this is not the same Bernard who started the show.
Really hard to keep track. Before he dies, before the man in black walks in, he is recording a video. We only see the end of that video. And during the end of that video, he says, like, reach for something with your left hand instead of your right. And anyway, bye. I'm about to get dome pieced. So I'm sure we'll see that video.
Right.
Sometime later, perhaps at the end. Most of this episode I didn't like at all. I enjoyed the last 10 minutes in the sense that if it's real and the swings are for the actual fences and not fake again, then it's great. In my opinion.
Right.
But well, I don't think they are, so it sucks. And, by the way, the last 10 minutes felt like the end of the season.
Yeah, it did. I thought, I had to double check this was episode 7. I thought that this was a cheap way for Bernard to go out. They really, like, rushed the pulling of the heartstrings with reminding us about Arnold and his son out of nowhere. Like, why didn't they bring that up earlier, at least lampshade it earlier in the episode? But no. Then William goes on the intercom and he announces that all the hosts and all the humans are going to be playing real-life Fortnite in World Ward starting now.
Right. It becomes Battle Royale, and our outliers are now in the middle of this all-out brawl, plus Caleb, who takes a very nice coat, gives $50 to a man, takes the coat, is very excited about that, and then Coat Man tries to, you know, choke him with the coat. As they are now in complete mayhem, but I swear,
the purge starts.
If they just close their eyes and run, all the extras definitely won't see them and will miss every punch anyway. So
Christine is really upset that everyone's purging and she wants to make them stop. Frankie even gets shot. She gets shot in the leg, I think. And Christine wants to help. And he's like, why can't anyone look at me? Why can't I help anyone? And Teddy's like, because you're not real. This is a simulation, bitch. Seasons 2 through 4 never happened.
Whoa. Remember at the beginning of this season where she was trying to talk to the homeless person and the homeless person couldn't see her? Whoa, because she's a simulation.
Anyway, William heads out to go play Fortnite in his man in black suit, and the tower falls apart behind him, so I guess there's no undoing the fort order. You can't undo Order 66. It's already been put into place.
Right, he sploded it. Order 66 is occurring, and there ain't no going back now. And the man in black, the arbiter of all things chaos, heading into New York City. It is all tilted towers all the time, and he has infinite bullets, apparently.
Oh, God. So that's this episode. So assuming, I'm sure they don't even have this shit decided by now, but taking for account the possibility of fake out deaths, they could at this point write out Maeve or write out Hale or write out Bernard out of the show or write out human William, but we'd still at least have Ed Harris. Like, I don't know, man, if Bernard and Hale and Maeve, if all three or two of that set are off the show, the quality of the show is going to plummet, man. It's going to be the Caleb show, Caleb
world. Yeah, because the bar is being set so high this season with all of them there. So, I mean, I assume a version of Christina, who is just an idea right now, has to be printed, right, by the end of this season. Like, Dolores 2 Electric Boogaloo, I assume is like either the post credit scene or she wakes up. Oh, is it her? Is it Dolores waking up, but anew? Is that the end of season 4?
Yeah, I really,
were you about to say don't care?
No, I think this would have been a fine season finale. I don't know what they're going to do with the next episode, but I mean, since they basically like set up the end of all of these real world plot lines. Again, I say this every season. They've written themselves into a corner. There's nowhere to go from here. William literally just initiated the extinction of humanity.
How do we get away? Yeah, I mean, I want to see it, though. Show me all the fighting. Make it dope. Nuke everybody. That'd be sick. Show aliens at the end. Don't be dicks. Show aliens come down at the end and be like, where are you guys on the evolutionary cycle? Are you still humans v robots? So 8,000 millennia ago. Anyway, let us know when you are back to bacteria, but with cool brains, and we'll be back, idiots. This is my fan fiction. I just want
to point out, for Ryan has been discussing throughout the show these changes to the corporate side of HBO and the ramifications it has for the creative part. And we should say, earlier in this season, I think we decided that there was going to be a season 5. However, I've just tried to confirm that, and the only person saying there will be a season 5 is Ed Harris. And we should point out that Ed Harris does not run the show and is not a producer on Westworld.
Yeah, but doesn't he also have a history of leaking the truth?
I guess so, but it has not officially been renewed.
But him saying that, was that dated prior to the
Discovery shakeup? Yes.
Sure. So nothing fucking matters.
So yeah, dude, depending on the highly specific economic problems faced by this merger, we may not have the next episode. Might be the series finale, and if they end on a cliffhanger, then Ryan and I are going to write our own season 5.
A cliffhanger? You said cliffhanger like you had a lit. Anyway, yeah. Oh my god! Actually, that'd be best case scenario where you and I fanfic an entire season of the end of Westworld. By the way,
someone has to end it.
Yeah, it will be us. There will be aliens.
It will be a two-man show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we do every character. We bring back other characters. Yul Brynner will be there, probably. Sylvester in it a lot. I will send an email to Ptolemy Slocum, a friend of the show. We did an interview.
We're bringing him back, dude. We're punished Sylvester.
Yeah, no, and he's a huge part of the fifth season.
Oh, God.
Maeve, how did you come back? They totally burned your brain ball in a vat of acid.
It takes more than that to kill me, darling.
Yeah, and that's it. We never explain it.
Somehow, Robert Ford has returned.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And he walks onto screen and he's like, actually, I'm Anthony Hopkins. What? Anthony Hopkins? Why are you in Westworld?
I won the New York battle at Tilted Towers. I killed everybody. It was me, the last one standing, with a Glock.
Right, and then if you win the real life Fortnite, you get to the Holy Grail grants your wish. You can reincarnate Robert Ford.
That's gonna be sick. You get to print yourself again. You get to print a bunch of versions of yourself, so you can like have you as your friends. The ultimate fantasy for every lonely person. As I go off to cry.
Thank you, everyone, who made it to the end of the show and who made it to the end of Westworld. This is an impressive feat. I don't think a lot of people are hanging on to Westworld Season 4. Certainly not a lot of people that I know.
Oh, no. Nobody I know is watching this. While I was watching it the other day, Sam, the girlfriend, was like in the kitchen watching something else. And then at the end was like, what the fuck is this? Like, how far down a rabbit hole is this horseshit? I'm like, you can't. The rabbit's all the way through the earth.
I loved when they were giving backstory on Dolores, because I was like, who in their wildest dreams do they think is picking this show up
at season four? Like, I don't know. But honestly, no. I was about to say before you brought up the James and Ryan fan fiction that could be season five, which is huge stuff, big time stuff. Love that. I was saying, you know, again, this is the HBO Boys podcast, but it started as the Westworld podcast.
Right.
So the idea that there would be our flagship show, which, you know, we are the most important part of this by far, not Nolans or
the first and only Westworld podcast.
Mm-hmm. We got that name first. So, and then changed it four times just to stomp on it every once in a while anew. It would be sad not to have the show finished out. I want it to be. But now that I have your alternative scenario where we do it ourselves, I also sort of love that option. So honestly, I'm cool either way.
Yeah. And watch this space, guys. We're going to be the Discovery Plus boys, the first dedicated Discovery Plus fan podcast. And I'm sure that podcast will be just as successful as the Discovery Plus platform itself.
Yeah. Discovery Plus boys is going to be huge.
That's just an easy thing to say. Discovery Plus boys.
Yeah, it really rolls off the Discovery Plus tongue. Before we go, I will say that Nothing Star Academy, the podcast that I work on other than this, the second season premieres on September 1st.
First
season has 18 episodes. You can binge it all right now in preparation for the second season. Go listen to that. James will be his old character, Dr. Jonathan Scheitlieb, in this season. And he'll be a new character, which I'm really, really looking forward to.
Me too.
So that will be soon. So go follow and listen to that as well.
Yeah, and we'll be back, like we said, for the finale and then also the premiere of House of the Dragon. And then Adam and I recorded an episode about the Hulu, straight to Hulu movie Prey that I need to edit, but I'm so lazy.
Well, just, you know, do it though.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. The House of the Dragon podcast. Unofficial, definitely hired by HBO, Ryan and James.
We are paid by HBO to say this.
Yeah.
HBO paid me to read this list of slurs. Number one.
Oh, no. Ryan and James, also part of a defamation lawsuit with Discovery Plus.